Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
So we are in our third week of this series, What on Earth Am I Here For? I hope that for the over 50 of you, nearly 60 of you who have gotten the book, I hope that you have enjoyed reading it. I hope that you are on target. I am now a day behind. I stand before you a man that is behind schedule. And you're thinking it took you 2 weeks to get there? That's amazing. It is a great, great read. And as I've been reading it, I've been underlining and I've been looking up scriptures and I've been involved with fresh eyes. Even though I had read this book when it was called The Purpose-Driven Life 10 years ago, I have been reading it with fresh eyes because I've needed it today. I have needed to be reminded that God has called me. I've been needed to be reminded that He loves me and that He finds pleasure in me. And those are the first 2 weeks where we have been so far. And today I've been reminded of our purpose for this day, the purpose of belonging, that we are designed to be people who belong. You know, it's not very infrequent when I think about the fact that when I stand here, you all had the choice to be here. All but about five of you had the choice. The rest of those five are paid to be here and have to be here unless they've asked for a weekend off, right? But you choose to be here, which speaks volumes to me about your desire to want to follow after the heart of God, or at least investigate the truth of God and want to experience what true Christian faith is really all about. And the fact that you've chosen to be here on a holiday weekend means a lot to me too. And so you've chosen to be here, which means you understand some of the premise of what we're going to talk about today in this idea of needing to belong and being designed to be belonging to something. The truth is this. As we talked last week, we all worship something. The truth is also true that we all need to belong to something. You know, I'm not creator, and that's a good thing because you came out a whole lot better looking than if I would have created you. But the realities are that in all of us, God has given this need, this desire, this passion to want to be connected to others. It's a part of being a human being, that we have this innate sense that we need to belong to something bigger than ourselves. And that's one of the purposes. The second purpose that Rick Warren talks about in this book that we're going to begin reading about today and read throughout this week, and we'll be discussing at the discussion group this Wednesday, if you'd like to come, is this idea of how we are wired to belong to something bigger than ourselves. So, the question is, what do we belong to? What do we choose to associate with, connect with, and belong to? Now, some of you, you know, you belong to a union, and because you do that, you receive various benefits from being a part of that union, right? Some of you belong to a local club of some kind, and you have various responsibilities maybe to serve within that club. Some of you might even belong to the gym or the YMCA. It's obvious that I do not. But when you do, there are certain things that you join with a group of like-minded people, and you are committed to being health conscious and aware of what's going on within your body and trying to become more healthy. So no matter what we do, we choose to belong to various things. The absence, I would say, the absence of belonging to something is actually probably the very beginning of a deep, deep despair. Because humanly, like I said, we have been wired to belong. And when we feel lonely, there's often this overwhelming sense of depression and despair and just darkness that can surround us. And it's because God didn't wire us to be alone. God wired us to belong. So we're going to look at what it means to belong to specifically the local church, but also just in terms of belonging relationally. I think that's going to be important for us to look at as well. You know, when it comes to the church, and you know I think about the church quite a bit. When it comes to the church, I think that oftentimes we get caught up in thinking that it's a thing. We sometimes we think of Christianity even as being a thing. the realities are that both the church and our faith are not things. They are relationships. See, we have relationship with churches in our community. As a matter of fact, several of you that I know who are here today because of Father's Day or whatever reason you're here today, you attend most Sundays another body of believers. And because of that, I would say, see, we're still a part of the family. There are churches all over this community and certainly all over the world. And we are, as Glenn Packiam was talking about in that video ahead of time, we are joining with that great cloud of witnesses of the Church of God. So we are joining in relationship. We are joining even in how we go about things. We are relationally connected with one another. This thought came to me about how important it is that we should belong to one another. It came to me this morning when I was reviewing things, and I thought, I got to put this in here. One of my favorite series of movies talks about belonging and relationship. You might not have thought about this before, but have you ever thought about Toy Story? And just how that movie really isn't about toys, even though I keep spying on mine to see if they move when I'm not watching. That's a trilogy of relationship. It's a trilogy of belonging. In the first movie, Woody is all consumed about his connection with Andy, not even really taking into consideration how all the other toys might feel left out, just as long as Andy and him are connected. And when Buzz Lightyear shows up, his little plan gets all messed up, right? And so it's not until they realize that they've got to work together and that they can share and they can be together relationally that they understand that sense of belonging. In the second one, there's this confusion because as Andy grows up and he's playing with his toys left, you know, Woody begins to think, well, maybe I don't belong to Andy anymore. Maybe I belong to a museum in Tokyo with a really fat guy taking me across, you know, on an airplane. And so, it's a question of belonging. He wants to believe that his owner, Andy, has inscribed his name on his boot. But once it gets painted over and he gets the polish and he looks good, he's thinking, well, maybe I belong to something else. And it's a question of really trying to answer, whom do I belong to? The third one is by far the best. Have you seen all three of them? Toy Story 3 made the other two look like kids' movies. Oh, wait a minute. They were. That's right. Toy Story 3, man, who didn't cry when the toys are about to be incinerated, right? I'm like looking down, I'm like wiping tears away from my eyes. This was a movie that showed us that it wasn't necessarily about who the toys belonged to, that it wasn't important if Andy's name was on the bottom of their boot or not, but that they belonged to each other. And that no matter where they were, if they had each other, that was enough. What a great picture for us as the church to understand what it means to be the church. See, we do belong to the Creator. The Creator gave us life. He gave us purpose. He gave us image. He gave us gifts. He gave us talents. And therefore, we belong to Him. He's our Andy, so to speak. Don't look under your shoe today and see if Yahweh or God is written there. It won't be. But we belong to God. But likewise, in the same understanding, we belong to each other. In that relationship, and it's in that sense of needing to belong that we sit here today, fanning ourselves in the humid gym, trying to stay awake and focused on what this guy's saying. We join together in what we're doing here today in faith because we belong to Him, but we also belong to each other. And too often when we come here, my fear is that we don't always take into consideration our interconnectedness. We kind of like to walk in, we'll see the few people that we know, we might say hi to some we don't, we'll get our cup of coffee, we'll sit down, sometimes we might get into a conversation, but we really try to get out with the smallest amount of collateral damage possible. And we like to call that church. I went to church today. But I might suggest today and challenge your line of thinking that you might not have experienced church today just because you came to church. Because experiencing church is when we take the risk, the relational risk of saying, I belong to something bigger than myself and I belong to these people in this gymnasium. That I have a certain responsibility to them and they have a certain responsibility to me. And that we sing together, we pray together, we listen together, but are we really belonging together? That's the challenge for us to think about today. Belonging is kind of a funny word. You've been looking at this definition a little while. A personal item that one owns or possession. We get that acceptance as a natural member or part. We can understand you are a part of this church. You belong. But also, I love this third definition, a secure or close relationship. There should be something secure and close about the relationships that you form within the body of Christ. There should be a level of security in being able to share our concerns and share our worries and share our failures. There should be a level of closeness that you feel when you connect with people relationally, especially in the body of Christ. But I wonder if this defines who we are. And I don't mean we, just we. I mean we like the body of Christ. Does this define the Christian church? That we portray a sense of belonging to everybody that might come in our doors. I use that word, body of Christ. You know, that's exactly how Paul described, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing in the New Testament. He's writing to the church in Corinth. He's writing about how we need to belong to each other, and he uses the body as a great example. Let's look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to be reading from the Message paraphrase, by the way. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts that we see and the parts that we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into exuberance. We are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of the body, of that body, does your part mean anything. You are finding and discovering your part in the body of Christ by being here today, by being here every Sunday, by being a part of a small group, by being a part of our Bible reading plan and putting that online, by being a part of reading this book together. You are discovering who you are and what part of the body you are a part of. Warren has a great quote. This comes on day 17. So what are we at, 15, 16, 17? So, I don't know, Tuesday or Wednesday, someday you're going to read this quote. And I thought it was very, very good. It's just a phrase. It says, the church is a body, not a building. It's an organism, not an organization. To me, when I read that, it leaped off. Now, maybe it leaped off the page because I'm a pastor and I think that I get this and I wanted to convey it today. But when we begin to see the church as a body, as a living thing, and not just a building and not just a set of organizations that has boards and leadership teams, when all of a sudden we can see it as something that we are a part of in that way, all of a sudden we should be motivated to want to be a part of it in a deeper way. See, when I understand the church as a body, a group of people as a body, then I know that I have a part to play. And I need to play it. Or else the body isn't functioning very well. So when I thought of this, and when I read this scripture, a couple of things just kind of leaped off the page for me. Number one, to understand the church as a body and as an organism, it reminds me that it tells me that it's all of us have a unique role to play within the church. All of us have a unique role to play within the church. You know, it blows me away to think about the brain and how it functions. Some of you have studied the brain. Some of you try to understand the brain. There are doctors who look at the brain and they still will tell you they don't get it. I mean, there are certain things they can understand about the brain, but it's very unpredictable at times. It's incredible. The fact that my brain right now is thinking while I'm talking a completely different set of thoughts that I'm saying is just kind of mind-boggling to me. The idea that my brain tells my heart to beat and my lungs to breathe and my stomach to digest without me having to command it to do so kind of freaks me out. The brain is absolutely an amazing thing. We've done everything we can to try to create the brain with creating computers, and it's still just a fraction of the power of what we have inside of our skull. The body is an amazing thing, and yet what we have to understand is it is a picture of how we are to function as a church, and every one of us has a unique part to play within that church. We need every one of you. The body of Christ needs every one of you to play your role, to use your gifts, to use your talents. You were created to belong to something bigger, and you're sitting in just a molecule of what that is. When I was thinking about the body of Christ this week, I was thinking about our church locally. Who are we in the body of Christ? What role do we play within Flushing? And it just kind of struck me, and this isn't scriptural, this is just Terry, so just take it for what it is. The body of Christ is big, right? So we'd like to say, man, we're an arm, or we're a leg, or maybe, you know, we're something else. But the reality is, we're just a single molecule within the body of Christ. That's how large the body is. The Christian church surrounds the universe. It surrounds the world, for sure. It's one of these things that we can hardly get our hands or our minds wrapped around. But even every molecule within your body has to do its part. If you want to even go down to that smallest of a level, every molecule has to do that part, do their role. I've got a good friend of mine today, and certainly thinking of the Graves family today. Rose's father passed away Friday night, and we're praying for you guys. I was reminded of that, thinking, man, it's Father's Day weekend, and that's not a good time to experience that. But I've got a good friend, a former colleague at the first church that I served in, Tom, who is pretty much breathing his last breaths this weekend. And, you know, it reminds me that every molecule of our body must do its part, because when one molecule starts to get out of alignment, it forms other molecules to do the same thing, and what we end up calling that is cancer, right? Essentially, it's when things don't go right in the body, and cancer destroys. And how many of us love cancer? Absolutely. You raise your hand, I'll smack you. Cancer's nasty. Diseases are, I don't like it and I don't get it. That's how it, when we think about the intricacies of our body, when everything goes well, we just kind of take it for granted. But when one thing gets out of alignment, when one thing doesn't function the way it was designed, havoc happens. And it's not good. And so when we look at the body, when we look at you are one part of the body, when we look at this church as just one part of the body, we have to recognize that we all have a unique role to play. You have a unique role to play here. And when we're not the body unified together, the body is weakened by that. The body can't function well like that. That leads me to my second point. When we don't participate in the church is weakened. So if you want to come into church, that's great. We'd love to have you. But really, we need you to participate with whom we are. Because we're not just a building. And we are not just an organization. We are a body. We are a living thing that requires every one of us playing our part. And I can't tell you what your part is. I can't tell you what your role is. That's what you're here to discover through Christ himself telling you. But this isn't a difficult thing to imagine, right? If you were to miss an arm, let's just take a big example. And let's make it your dominant arm, okay? I use my right hand for about everything. So if I were to lose my right arm, I would have to adjust pretty significantly, wouldn't I? I'd have to learn how to write. I'd have to learn how to do everything differently. Now, it's possible. I can adjust, but it's uncomfortable, and I won't be working at full capacity. The same is true with the church. You all have a very significant role to play. And if you don't play it, the church will adjust. Life will go on, but we won't be at full capacity. And we can't function the best that we possibly can. The example that came to my mind, and I'm leery to even use it, but I've got to because I really feel like God told me to, is in the area of giving. You know, I don't know if you've noticed in the last couple of months, we begin to acknowledge that we give here differently. For a long time, we never talked about giving hardly ever, and we just had these wooden boxes, and you found them, and you would contribute, and it blew me away. And recently, some of the needs of the church were outgrowing the pace of our growth, which is great. Our giving has been growing, but just not at the pace that we've necessarily needed it to at times. And so we thought, maybe it's because some people just don't know how we give here, because a lot of churches give through passing a plate and making everybody feel a little bit uncomfortable and, you know, got to throw something in, right? Here we do it a little differently. We have these boxes. We have one by the door and one by our welcome center. And so we began to think, well, maybe we should just acknowledge that that's how that's done here. And so we have been, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but you certainly will now. When we as a church come in and don't play our part in our ability to worship financially, and that is an act of worship. That is not an act of duty. That is an act of worship. When we don't all participate in that act of worship, our church is weakened. I wasn't looking for an amen, but thank you. The flip side is this, and I've heard Steve say this before. If we all participated the way we're asked to and commanded to and encouraged to in Scripture and worshiping God financially, we would be looking for ways to give it away. I don't do the math because I don't want to know, but if I were to figure out the mean financial salary, you know, what the median family earns in Flushing, and figure out how many families attend our church, the number would be astounding as to what I would think we could raise as a church. I'm still astounded that we're on pace to raise just under $400,000 this year, which just blows me away. That's a big number, right? But the realities are very few are giving sacrificially, and too many are giving just... Did I just lose... Are you messing with me again? I'm talking about finances, and the sound guy's going, whoa, 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 left that part, whoa, whoa, whoa. Just kidding, Terry. What was I talking about? Man, I need some ADHD pills or something. When we are functioning as a body in that way, just a small example, we are going to be thriving as a community of faith to be able to meet the needs of our children who are crammed in classrooms. We're going to be able to meet the needs of our community who need help financially. We're going to be able to meet the needs of people within our own body who come across hard times, and we'll be able to say, here you go, God bless you. But when we live above our what God has given us to live on, when we live above what we ought to be, then there's very little left for the church, and that becomes the option to give instead of the first thing to be given. And Scripture says it ought to be the first. And so here's the point. Get to the point. When we're talking about being the body, we all have a job to do. Some of you need to be serving. Some of you need to be involved. Some of you need to show up and distribute food. Some of you need to give. I'm not sure what God is calling and laying on your heart at this moment. But when we are the body and when we are all doing our part, we're strong. And when we're not, we will be weak. We will be weak. So I'm saying this to say this. Please hear me. I don't want you to belong here to get your money. My job is to stand here and to say, how do we worship effectively? How do we function effectively as a church? That's just one example, but there are many more that I won't go into today. But we need to be the body. We need to be understanding what it means to belong to each other and have responsibilities for each other. It's important. Now, we can talk about the church being a body. We can also talk about the church being a family, right? Today's kind of a family day. It's Father's Day, and I hope that you'll have an opportunity, if your father is living and you have a good relationship, that you'll be able to be spending time with your family. I really hope that's a part of your schedule. But you know what part of families is? Often you have family responsibilities. Our family has entered into summer. I gave everybody a week off. You know, you get done with school, you got a week to kind of just reprogram yourself. And so now it's time for family responsibilities. Last summer, we had a little chart what everybody's responsibilities were on certain days. You had to walk the dog on this day. You had to unload the dishwasher on this day. Take the trash out on this day, whatever. Right? Family responsibilities. Every healthy family has them, and so do we. So as the family of God, here are a couple of responsibilities I want to call us to today. Number one on your responsibility list as a family is to cultivate authenticity. About jump down to number two. Cultivate authenticity. In the book that we're reading, Rick Warren talked about even this last week about worship, and he'll talk about it this week when we're looking at belonging, the need for being authentic people. Authenticity to me means truth. Being the real deal, living honestly, those are things that come to my mind when I think of authentic. I think that our world is really shy on the level of authentic leaders that we have standing in front of us. And so authenticity is sometimes difficult to really understand, but it's important for the church. You know, the church is far from perfect. It's not led by perfect pastors, and it's not filled with perfect people in the congregation, but it is a place where we need to discover and need to experience authenticity. On day 18, Rick writes these words: instead of an atmosphere of honest and humility, there is pretending, role-playing, politicking, and superficial politeness and shallow conversation. People wear masks, keep their guard up, and act as if everything is rosy in their lives. And this is what leaped out to me when I read this then. He says, these attitudes are the death of real fellowship. When we are people of masks, we are defeating the purpose of why we're here to begin with, and that is to cultivate an atmosphere of authenticity. Now, how do we defeat this temptation? I was thinking about that this morning. I think the number one way we defeat this is we get involved. You know how you meet people in a church our size? You volunteer in children's department. You come to a mobile food pantry. You see something in the bulletin and you say, that's my church and I'm going to be involved, and you go and you participate. Another way to get involved and to kind of defeat this temptation of lack of authenticity is to get involved in a small group. Pastor Mike, who did the announcements here a little while ago, is our leader of small group ministry. And a lot of our small groups are kind of taking a hiatus and a break over the summer. This fall, we're going to be ramping up small groups again. And we've got this discussion group on Wednesday night. It's a great little opportunity to get involved. When we get involved in small groups, we begin to build relationships and we begin to wrestle with Scripture, and that cultivates a sense of belonging. You know, the other thing I thought about is it's this thing right over here. We kind of look at the cross as a piece of furniture sometimes. I was at the mall the other day and I saw this guy with this big old cross necklace on, and it just kind of struck me as a little funny. And I thought, man, why do I struggle seeing that as not being religious? I was struggling in my own heart there a little bit. But it's at the foot of this cross that we need to be confronted with ourselves. It's when we get confronted with what Jesus did for us on this cross that all of a sudden we need to become real with who we are. And we need to also become real with others so that we can have success and flourish in our Christian faith. The cross means everything for us. It's a free gift of forgiveness and wholeness and hope. Instead, what we like to do is use it for decorations and then ignore all the hidden stuff inside of us and try to convince everybody we're good. And we stop to look at the cross as an opportunity to recognize that we're not. We need to develop an atmosphere of authenticity to be the body of Christ. The second family responsibility is to restore its place. So, funny little phrase. What do I mean by that? For too many, our pursuing of discovering our purposes in life have led us to things that crowd out our ability to belong to the fellowship of the church. The workforce, as you know, treats Sunday as just another day. And you get scheduled on it and you have to work on Sundays now. Whereas when most of us grew up, that wasn't the case, right? The church was never meant to be an optional Sunday morning activity. The church, when we come together and have a sense of belonging, was always meant to be primary. As a matter of fact, in ancient culture, temples were always built right in the center of all activity because they recognized that worship was to be primary, not secondary or thirdary or fourthary, and I'm making up words. Worship together is vital. It's important for us to have that sense of belonging. And so we need to restore its place as an area of responsibility as the family of God. It is our job to restore the church to its rightful place as being a central part of who we are. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up on the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another. We cannot give up on this habit. I don't want to sound like a whiny tale here, but you know, when I look at the attendance habits of our church, just our church, because I have that ability, because Don Cordy is like the guru of all technology. And So we look at this, and I think last time I looked at this, and Marianne, you could correct me if I'm wrong, I think the average attender comes to our church about 42% of the time, which actually is above national standards. And I'm thinking, man, if the average person comes here less than half of the time, I feel like that's not great, personally. I don't want to sound judgmental. I'm just trying to, you know, have a little pastoral counseling session with all of you with me. I believe that the church is to be a primary part of what we are. And I recognize that work gets in the way. And I recognize that sports get in the way. I'm not saying you have to say no to all of that. I get that. But I also miss when we're not all together. And I miss the fellowship that we can have when we sponsor a bike event or when we sponsor some other thing to come together that there's just 50 or 60 instead of 300. Because I want to be in relationship with you. I want to experience life with you. And when that doesn't happen, again, it's just part of that breaking down. So I think that if we're going to be the body of Christ, that we have to elevate the place of the church back and not just be content with, you get me when you get me. And I know that's not your attitude. You're here on a holiday weekend, for crying out loud. It's gorgeous outside, and you're in here. You're committed. Okay, number three of our family responsibilities. Cultivate authenticity, restore its place, and celebrate community. My third and final moment here is this, that we ought to be celebrating community. Community has nothing to do with compatibility. Some of you just will not get along all that well, and that's okay. Some of you don't get along with me probably, and that's just going to have to be okay. We're not talking about compatibility when we're talking about community. It's more like the family. You know, some of you get along with your family, some of you don't. Some of you just tolerate your family, right? But they're still your family. And I've had to come to realize that in my own personal life. You have to look beyond that, and you have to say, that's my mom, and that's my dad, and that's my brother, and that's my sister. They drive me crazy, but they're not going to stop being my family. And when we understand that as a church, you know, some of you worshiped with each other at different churches and you found each other here and now you're looking across and you go, oh man, I know what they're all about. That's breaking down community within us. That has no place here. I don't think I can say that any more clearly. You are called to celebrate community amongst the body of Christ. And that means that you're not all going to have to hug, but you are going to have to get along. And you are going to have to love each other, even though sometimes liking each other might be a little bit of a challenge. God calls us to it, and I'm not making it up. We are to celebrate community. And establishing it and cultivating it and protecting it and celebrating it takes time and trust and patience and humility. It is challenging. It is probably one of the most difficult things we have to do as a church. It's okay to come here and sing and leave, but if we have to get along, then we're talking about something totally different. I want us to be a church that celebrates community, because when we do, that means that we've earned the right to speak truth and love to people. Not our own selfish ambition or our personal gain or just to be mean to somebody, but speak truth to somebody so that they can grow in the faith and you can grow in the faith. When we're celebrating community, it means that we're on the same level. And we have to offer care and love and mercy and forgiveness and sympathy and time to other people. When we're celebrating community, it means that we are willing to admit that we're wrong and that we actually seek restitution. When we celebrate community, it means that we see Christ as the head of the church, calling us to belong to Him and helping us find our purpose and place in this life. You know, as we embrace our need to belong, what we see is that we are all one people of one table. Maybe early on you asked yourself, why is everything set up so differently today? Because not only symbolically, but we wanted you to be adjusted to where you normally sit to recognize that we are people of one table. And we wanted the table right in the middle of who we are today. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different ethnicities, we come from a lot of different differences. But when it comes to Christ, we are people of one table. And He has called us to that table over and over and over again. And when you come to this table and you look across the table, you're seeing your family. You're seeing the people whom you are connected with and whom you belong to. And when we do that, friends, We need to love that family. Today, as we've already mentioned, we've set up things differently. Even formed those tables as best as we could in the formation of a cross to remind ourselves that God is the head of this household, that God is the head of this body, and that we are the people of one body, of one family, and of one table. Communion is a gift that God has given to the church because it reminds us of His faithfulness in our past, and it reminds us that He will remain faithful in our futures. And even though our futures can be cloudy, and even though they can be incredibly frustrating, He is still a God of faithfulness in the midst of our past and in the midst of our future. You know, communion is also a gift because it reminds us of our sin. It reminds us that we are really unworthy to come to this table, and yet He invites us to come anyways. So it's a fantastic opportunity for us to pause and to reflect on our life and to reflect on the things that often get in the way of who He wants us to be. And so I challenge you in these moments to reflect on that and to offer a prayer of forgiveness and to offer a prayer of confession, because it's important for us to do so at a time like this. Today, as a body, we are going to come to one table, receive these elements, and experience what God has for us. The bread that is at this table represents the body of Christ, the body that was broken for you, pierced for you, and hung on a cross for you. The cup of juice that you will take out of one of those trays represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for you so that your sins may be forgiven. We come freely to this table, freely to this table, but don't forget that it was set at a very high price. The Son of God came to this world. He lived for you. He died for you, so that you could come to this table this day. It is a free meal, not because it didn't cost anything. It cost Jesus absolutely everything. But I want you to know, you belong there. We've been talking about belonging. You belong there. Christ has wired you to belong at this table, receiving Him and all of His love, all of His hope, all of His forgiveness can be found at this table. Just a moment, I'm going to pray for you. We're going to play some music. I'm going to invite you to come and receive a piece of bread. I'm going to invite you to come and receive just a small cup. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to take that bread and that cup, and I want you to return back to your seat and actually have a seat and sit down and wait. Because what we're going to do is we're going to receive these elements together. But we want to invite you to come to the one table to receive. Not to take away from the spirit of things, but to try to help with traffic. We thought it might make sense if the front sections here went to the front part of those tables, and if you moved this way and then back around to your seats that way, that'd make a lot of sense to us. In the back sections, if you would take from the back part, moving that way and then going around the back side and back into your seat, that might help everybody just get to that one table in a really nice, orderly fashion. I will say this. This table has been set for you if you are ready to receive. And if today you say, you know what? I'm not sure that I'm ready. I respect that decision because you understand by not taking the importance of receiving. I always say this to my teens when I was a youth pastor. It's all easy for us to get up and go to an altar. It's all easy for us to go and receive communion. It's harder for us to stay and say, you know what? In an act of authenticity, I can't do that yet. So this is our opportunity to seek Him and to find Him at the one table. Would you stand with me? Pray. pray with me. Father, as we, as your church, move into this special and holy time, I pray that you would guide us. Check us. Help us feel your spirit this day. And may all that we do in this moment glorify you through the acts of confession, through the acts of praise and thanksgiving, everything. May it be a reflection of who you are, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Terry, if you start the music, and friends, as you're ready, you may go and receive the elements together at this one table.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.